Hey, I'm Gretchen Bridgers of the Always a Lessons Empowering Educators podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the Ditch That Textbook Podcast, a daily show to equip, inform, and inspire educators to teach with less reliance on the textbook through technology, creativity, and innovation. I'm your host, Matt Miller. Let's get started. This is episode 142 of the Ditch That Textbook Podcast, a member of the Education Podcast Network, coming to you today from the Ditch That Textbook World headquarters here at my house in West Central Indiana. And in the last episode, we touched on one of the key takeaways that I had from reading the book Culturally Responsive Teaching in the Brain by Zaretta Hammond. Again, if you haven't checked this book out, absolutely go take a look at it. Get your hands on a copy of it. Download the audiobook. I was even searching through YouTube, and Zaretta Hammond has some presentations and interviews and even a keynote speech that you can listen to that has, you know, more and more of these ideas if this is something that you want to dig into. And culturally responsive teaching and the brain gives us all of these ideas to kind of see where our students are, to understand a little bit more about the cultures that they come from and figure out how those cultures wire their brains in different ways and how we can use that to help connect with them and help them to be able to learn at high levels. And so one of the things that she digs into early in the book is understanding our students' cultures. And she identifies this in three different ways. There's three different levels of culture. I thought this was fascinating. She said that there's surface culture. Surface culture, observable concrete elements of culture like food, dress, music, and holidays. And she says this has a low emotional charge. And one of the things that I've noticed in many classes, including sadly my own at times, is that this is the easy place for us to go for culture, but it's not the meaningful place. Then she says there's shallow culture. Shallow culture is made up of unspoken rules around everyday social interactions and norms. She said this is like courtesy, attitude towards elders, nature of friendship, concept of time, personal space between people, nonverbal communication, so on and so forth. And she says that nonverbal communication builds rapport and trust between people, and that comes out of shallow culture. So when we understand some of those unspoken rules around social interactions, and if we're able to incorporate those in the relationships that we build with students and the way that we interact, that can have a huge impact. And then she says there's deep culture. Deep culture. This is made up of our tacit knowledge and unconscious assumptions that govern our worldview. It also contains our cosmology, our view of good or bad, that guides ethics and spirituality, health, theories of group harmony. So this is like getting much, much bigger and deeper. And so when it comes to the culture, I love the analogy that she makes. She says that it's kind of like a tree. The surface culture is the leaves. And a lot of times if you're, you know, not really paying attention to the tree, that's what you see first is the leaves. The shallow culture is like the trunk. And then the deep culture is the roots. She says that's the collective, the unconscious, the beliefs and norms, that kind of thing. And those are the roots that hold the tree up. And so when it comes to understanding our students' culture, which of course has so much to do with the way that their brains are wired, and it also has a lot to do with the relationships that we build with them, she brings up this point that teachers sometimes make. She says, but I have 19 different cultures in my classroom. Do I have to learn about all of these 19 different cultures? And she says, not necessarily. There are some cultural archetypes that you can understand that will help you meet and reach those students, you know, some of which that may be generally marginalized. And so one of them that she touches on is collectivism versus individualism. I know there's a lot in this episode, but I thought this was so cool and so interesting. And she says that in different cultures, some of them are more collective cultures where they rely on each other, and it's, you know, more as a group, as a family, all working together for the common good, versus the individual cultures where, you know, it's kind of like we're more for ourselves and, you know, trying to take care of ourselves. And she says that 20% of the world has an individualistic culture, 80% has a collectivist culture. And she says most of the European cultures were rooted in an individualistic mindset. While the collectivist worldview, these are the ones where, you know, group and family and all that is important, is common among Latin American, Asian, African, Middle Eastern, and many Slavic cultures. And so those are the ones where, you know, cooperative learning, interdependence within a community is all super important. And then she also talks about oral and written traditions. And she says that, you know, a lot of those groups that are based on the collective culture also have had oral tradition passed down historically. So she says, telling stories, coding knowledge into songs and chants and proverbs and poetry. Those are the kinds of things that over time that have been wired into their brains, into their family practices, into their cultural traditions. And so when we start to understand that, we can see how using some of those practices, you know, like you're, you know, saying it again, stories, songs, chants, proverbs, poetry, movement, dancing, drumming, they can, using alliteration, you know, all of those things are the kinds of things that really connect with the students whose, you know, whose families represent those cultures. Stuff is just fascinating to me that It's all based on the way that the brain works, and it's ways that we can reach some of those students that, you know, might be generally marginalized or might be the ones who don't feel like they're reached in the classroom. So again, this all comes from Culturally Responsive Teaching in the Brain by Zaretta Hammond. So again, if you haven't checked this book out, I highly, highly recommend it. Thanks for listening to the Ditch That Textbook podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. If you love it, be sure to leave a review and rating on iTunes to help others find the show. Thanks for listening, and happy ditching.